Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Vibe with Steph the podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in to another week. It's still Women's History Month. So if you haven't checked out last week's episode about women's mental health in a man's world with my guest Paula Moreno Fuentes, I would suggest that you go back last week and check it out. It's such valuable information, such valuable updated information, actually, because you know, there's been so many changes in the world and all different sectors on how we navigate through our everyday lives. So, you know, from healthcare to education to employment. So, you know, she gave us a lot of facts, a lot of numbers, a lot of things, and she spoke from a personal perspective, and also as a woman of color and as a health professional, you know, she's able to see the ins and outs of how everything works, but at the same time she's also affected, she's also a woman too, so she has to navigate through that system as well. So as I said, just go back and check that out if you haven't. You know, I always have to do this every week. I have to shout out one of my people, one of our listeners or anything like that. But so this week I want to give a big shout out to my girl Mel. Mel is the owner of Mel's Little Crumbs. You know, her cookies that she makes, they're homemade. They're huge. They're like the size of my face. But they're so delicious. I'll be making sure that I add her Instagram right under here, somewhere under the description. So you can click and check that out. I'll be shouting her out on my Instagram. Mel's a new mom. She's got a little cute little boy, a little son. He is adorable. He's my dance partner, y'all. But shout out to you, Mel. Thank you so much for listening every week. You are amazing, fantabulous, and you know, I have to shout you out. Women own business. Today I don't have a guest. It's just me, y'all. It's just me. It's just the vibes with Steph. So I just wanna, before I go to commercial break, I wanna let you know what I'm gonna be talking about today. I always say I'm not an expert in anything. You know, when I bring these guests or whatever. So I like to speak from my personal experience and, you know, just doing extra research and things like that. So I'm going to actually be talking about today a topic that's really sensitive, actually, because there's so many layers to it, right? And I mean, they have a whole month dedicated to it. So, you know, I'm just going to share just something brief. It's not going to cover nearly everything at all from what, you know, what it is. So on today's episode, I'm going to talk about domestic violence, but in particular emotional abuse. So before I get into that sticky subject, I'm going to just go to this commercial break, listen to the sponsored ad, and I'll be right back. All right, guys, I'm back. And that's it. Like I said, it's just me today. but that's what we've been used to. It's vibing with Steph. So today, my listeners are just going to be the ones vibing with me. But always so grateful for you guys. So, you know, it's been such a busy March. Oh, my God. Pisces season is, you know, is always extra. Always extra, because it wouldn't be a Pisces season if it wasn't. But you know what, at the same time, it's all the emotions going from up and down, and I'm not gonna say unstable, but it's really from, like, it goes from night to day, it goes from hot to cold real quick, and it's just literally like a cycle that happens to me every March, and I'm like, oh my God, like, why I feel like having a crying episode, and then the next day I feel like I want to fight. Like, sis, what's the problem? But you know, despite that, because like I said, I expect it all the time. I don't try to manifest that, but it just happens. And I know I've been hearing it so much from other people when, you know, we're just having conversations. Say, hey, how you doing? You're like, oh, what a week I had. And I'm like, okay, so it's not just me, right? Something in the water. No, aside from the Pisces season, and which is coming to an end soon, we're also in the shadow of full moon on Friday, It's actually going to be a full moon in Virgo, which I already know how I feel about that, but I'm not going to discuss. So it's just all these extra emotions just happening, right? And I'm saying this because it's a segue into something, right? So, you know, I am one of those people, and if y'all come to get to know me, not to say I've taken pride in it, but I was never like an emotional person when it comes to having to be sensitive to my feelings, right? Like, as I've always felt like having to, you know, say how I feel and be in touch with those feelings, like, you know, just it's vulnerable, you know, and I'd rather just not deal with that. I mean, because I know I'm always going to be extra, but I'll be extra positive, you know, or extra everything else. But, you know, those other feelings, those are things that we gotta actually just, you know, we have to face. Then it doesn't matter the age, because if you don't learn it earlier, you're gonna have to learn it later on, and it's worse. So yeah, that's definitely something that I've been personally working on, you know, just managing my feelings better. But in order to manage them, I gotta process them, right? So the month of March has been so much processing, so much feeling, and I'm like, listen, I'm gonna need to not have the puffy eyes. I'm gonna need to get myself together, because honey, I'm gonna just blame Pisces season, right? No, I'm kidding. So happy birthday to all the Pisces, by the way, all y'all dope. But you know, every March, every time March comes around, the third month of the year, I usually feel like, you know, we've been marinating in the year. You know, we ain't forgetting the how to write the, you know, when we write the dates, we're not accidentally writing the year before. Like, we already know. It's like, it's still the beginning of the year, you know, we're still in that first quarter, but you know, we're already in the motion. We already got our schedules, right? Aside from, you know, getting more comfortable with our plans and, you know, all of that stuff, remembering our resolutions, remembering the things that we want to achieve for the year, you know, it's always great because it's Women's History Month, right? And it's great that it's becoming more acknowledged, because whatchamacallit, we just learn a little bit more, right? We learn a little bit more about each other, about women and about the strides that women have made, you know, in history, even till now. And I'm going to stand on it, and I say this, like, women were always going to be as amazing as we are from the beginning of time till the end of time. And I don't think the end of time is going to be because of women. But that's another story for another day. You know, I really just think that we are just this epitome of just being. You know, we bring in life, we sustain it, and whenever we always fill in the gaps. You know, if you read the Bible, you know, people are always like, oh, you know, the women are, they're the helpmeets, right? Listen, I don't mind being a helpmeet. I don't want to be the one in the front. I don't want to be the man in the house. I don't be none of that. I don't always need to be in charge. I love this to be the support, right? And I say that because even when we're not front and center, when we're in the support side, we're amazing, because you're gonna need us all the time. So it's beautiful to me, when, and more so recently, like when women come together, right, and we have the same goal in mind, and we reach those goals. You know, I do not subject myself to mean girl energy. I hate it, man. I hate mean girls. I see it a lot now too. Like, that starts so young. Like, my daughter is in fifth grade, and the mean girls are they're nasty. It's not cool. It's not even cool. I don't even know why they think like being a bitch apparently is. That's not cool. I'm not for it. You know what I mean? But it tends to just roll over, and then people are just mean girls when they're adults, and that's not even fun. You know, we can celebrate our differences, but like, there's no need for us to be like hating on each other, right? Because there's enough men, quote unquote, that are speak so negatively about women, right? And if it's deserved or not, that's even the point. But I don't respect a man who talks shit about a woman. Don't care. You know, you can speak on experiences, you know, maybe you didn't have a good experience with the women, but the way I hear some men bash women and the things that we gotta go through, from, oh, why is she wearing this, or why she has to say it like that, why do you look me, like, that's nothing to do with you, bro. Like, it really doesn't, you know. So we have already that factor of the way we have to navigate in a, let's say, a man's world, right? We don't need to be, we don't have to have enemies with each other, right? You know, I've even had experiences within the church, right? Let me tell y'all, I am so traumatized from women's retreats and women's night, and when we had women's Bible studies. I can't listen. I'm still working on it, but it just has such negative connotations, right? And I say that to just segue into the exact topic what I'm talking about today. You know, for me, growing up, I grew up with boys. I grew up with my two brothers, my three uncles. My dad was very active in my life. You know, my mom, we were the only girls. And so I just naturally always just gravitated to guys, and it was in an extremely platonic way. I'm not one of those girls that, I don't have girlfriends because boys don't have drama. No. It's, I didn't even think that. I liked sports. I liked to play basketball. I liked wrestling, you know, and that's why I think I have things in common with. It was never anything like that, you know, but I'm finding now that my circle of girlfriends, right, they're like expanding. I was reflecting on it this week in particular because Evie Queen, okay, y'all know I always talk about House because I love it, but Evie Queen is like the freaking, she's the queen of reggaeton, right? She is phenomenal. She's made so many strides, just historically, right? And being a Puerto Rican woman who, she's not delicate. She's not this damsel in distress. She doesn't try to, she's not, it's not about the seduction and the body and all of those things, or using men, or, you know, using her sexuality to get whatever's needed, you know. And if that's the prerogative, that's cool too, that's fine, not judging it. But when she came out, you know, a couple decades ago, the image that she had was with this presence of, you know, I don't care if men, you know, this is what they're looking for. This is who I'm going to be, right? So basically, she's been, she's broken barriers, you know, from awards and recognitions. She's, the reggaeton world and the Latino community is very male-led, right? Very machista, it's very misogynistic. And even to this day, there's not really a lot of women in that particular genre of music. Let me imagine back before, like, it was even less, right? So she is, to me, she's like the embodiment of where a lot of women want to be, right? And it can be in any sector. It can be in music, in fashion, in politics, whatever, pick an industry, and pass probably that, because she really doesn't give a fuck. But I realized, I'm like, there's gonna be so many women, right, when she comes out here. There's a concert that's coming up, and I was looking at some, you know, older videos and stuff like that, things that people recorded, and there's just a whole bunch of women. It's just women. It's really like girl power. Like, that's the kind of vibe it is. And we definitely need more examples of that, honestly. We really do. And she is a freak. She is a bad bitch. She really is. From her outfits, her hair, her personality, just, you don't even have to hear her say anything. Like, you could, her personality, her spirit, it comes out just from her presence. You know what I mean? And on top of that, she doesn't have no sweet, mousy voice. She has a strong, raspy, deeper voice, you know what I'm saying? So again, something that's less sexy and that, again, that culture or that genre of music or whatever, right? So this is exactly the part where I kind of got stuck, right? So a friend of mine, Jackie, hey girl, Jackie, she was telling me Evie Queen's gonna be over here in Jersey, and I'm like, oh my God, are you serious? And it's a day I'm actually free, so we were down to go. And I said, I gotta go tell my girl Caro, because we're like the reggaetoneras, and I was like, I gotta tell her, we gotta go. So she literally was like, girls night. I'm like, yeah, girls night. Oh shit, like, okay. I've never had a girls night, right? And actually the one time that I did, And that's exactly where this, if you want to say the podcast actually starts, it's going to start right now. It's about to get real. One of the only ladies' nights I went on, you know, just the girlfriends. And the last one was actually, and the very last one I've ever gone to was in 2019. I never avoided them because I didn't want to go. I just, I'm a mom. I was, you know, working on some different areas of my life. And my ex, he just was not with it. He's like, ladies' nights. Oh, ladies' nights, that's for, you know, all women, bitter people. Women are bitter and single, and they just want to talk shit about men. And at the same time, I'll try to be with them, you know? And I was just like, that is not the case. That's not what ladies' night's about. You know, we just want to celebrate each other. But, you know, this particular man, it didn't make sense to him. But that's besides the point, right? So I didn't realize how triggering ladies' night was to me. And the reason why it was so triggering is because I already had for years been in an emotionally abusive relationship, right? And I say that not just for you, like, it's very hard for me to talk about that. I didn't even know I was actually in an emotionally abusive relationship. I'm like, what? I never even heard of that term, you know, because it didn't hit me, right? Not until that night, though, actually, but that's what I'm going to get into. How do you really identify that, right? Like, you don't see anything. It's not on our body. You know, you don't have anything like that, right? Nobody can say I was being hit or abused, right? So I hadn't even known. I see now all of the signs of an emotionally abusive relationship. And at the time, we were already like split for a few years. And I guess that was my final like straw. I was like, okay, this is gonna be the last run. And after my first ladies' night, that's when I changed like everything. That was the night that I said, I am not doing this anymore. And I decided to move away. And that's what, you know, and that was another, I don't even want to say a new chapter in my life. That was a whole new book. Because it was that very night that I was scared for my life. You know, I had went to celebrate with a couple of my friends. Our girl, she got promoted at a hospital, and it wasn't planned, actually. You know, it was like last minute. And I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna go. I looked forward to it. I was like, you know what? I don't do these things. It was just a couple of us, and I was excited to go to celebrate a promotion. And I hadn't seen her in a while. And my other friend, she wasn't fond of my ex-husband anyway, but we ended up kind of hopping around from a club, and then went to like another club. And this man kept sending me messages all night. Where are you? How long are you gonna be? I didn't say that you can go out. Like, it was just very, you know, it was a lot of, I don't really want to talk about any specifics, because like I said, you know, it's still very hard for me to talk about. But this is on my ladies' night. I'm supposed to be out here celebrating my friend and catching up. And all I was like, I'm good. I want to just turn off my phone. But I've got the kids. I can't turn off my phone. I need to have it, like, available. I silenced his messages because, again, I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be that person on the phone. And we ended up in our next location, our final destination or location, whatever. It was about, already hitting 2:30. And this man is blowing up my phone because he wants to know where I'm at. And I'm just like, man, like, I was over it. My friend already noticed that, like, I was just bothered. Like, I couldn't even enjoy myself because for hours, probably 3 hours, I was just getting messages and messages and messages. And I'm like, what the hell? He wanted to know where I was at and had my location, obviously. That's, you know, another sign of an abusive relationship, the person, abuser, just trying to have control. And he ended up where I was, like, right before they closed, around 2:45. I was talking to my girlfriends. You're sitting down and nothing. I'm going to dance, but you're sitting down and somebody comes up behind me trying to kiss up on my neck. And when I tell you, I jumped. I was so scared. Like, it wasn't even that even. Like, I don't know what it was, but something just dark and heavy just took over me. And that's not the person I wanted to see. I was so angry. I didn't drink. I'm actually not a drinker, like really a drinker like that. I drink from time to time, but I don't like to be feeling being drunk. And I was just like, oh my God. I could not believe he showed up there. I could not believe it. From harassing me the whole entire night to then showing up to my girls' night. The very girls' night that he thinks that people, that women shouldn't have. Because that's ridiculous. There should not be bashing men, right? That's obviously an excuse. So I end up leaving. Like, we end up leaving, and it would cause a scene, and I was so embarrassed. I was just trying. I never liked to be that person, right? Arguing outside, and then this, that, and the third. I don't like it. I fucking hate that shit. And I was trying to just not argue with the guy. I'm not talking right now. And he just wanted to talk, and I'm just like, oh my God. This is late. This is girls' night out. I'm not trying to, like, why are you here? And, you know, it was excuse after excuse, but then it ends up acting like I just wanted to, I thought that you were going to be with someone and I was testing you, you know, just a bunch of bullshit trying to put that on me, you know? Again, another sign of emotional abuse. I didn't know. I just knew I just didn't want to deal with it, right? So, Jesus, there's a lot. There's a lot, so I'm trying to make it the short version where it got really bad. Apparently, he used the last of his money to get to where I was, which was probably about 45 minutes from where he lived. And he said that he needed a ride back because he spent all his money. And I'm like, man, no, absolutely not. Besides, one, it wasn't my car. It was my friend's car. And no, are you crazy? She didn't want. He jumped into her car and she told me he needed to get out. She was gonna call the police. It got really hostile really fast. The yelling, and she was getting nervous. And it was just a lot. He getting him out, and I'm just in silence. I feel like I ruined the night. You know, like, this is bullshit, and this is why I don't go outside, and this is why I don't go out, or this is why I don't want. I shouldn't have gone to a ladies' night. You know, putting that on myself, you know, making, like, blaming myself for something that wasn't my doing. A lot of times I would feel like, oh, I shouldn't respond, but I felt like it was gonna make it worse. Almost like a catch-22, you know. And I'm like, I know I felt trapped a lot of times, but I couldn't say this is what this was and this is why I felt trapped, right? I just knew that I didn't like it. I didn't like feeling the way he made me feel. But he made it seem like this was all in the name of love, right? And just to point out, one reason why this has been a very difficult topic for me to talk about, and it's, you know, I've only started opening up about it within the last couple of years, is because to myself, I feel like I'm an intelligent woman. I'm smart. I'm a good mother. I'm quick on my feet. You know, I'm a good caliber of a woman, right? Not say I'm perfect, but I'm strong-minded as well, right? I don't let things get to me. That's not me. I'm not weak-minded. So to have felt the way I felt for so long, and to see myself, like, looking in to that situation, it sounds like I was weak, right? Why would I tell anybody that this is what I'm going through? Like, it's gonna basically look like everything I'm not. I don't want to be seen as weak. I'm not gonna say anything. So that's what I was experiencing for years. And again, not to say I knew I was being emotionally abused per se, but I knew it wasn't healthy, right? I didn't know that it was emotional abuse. And that is the way that life was. I was used to it already. Like, oh, okay, he's gonna call me stupid. He's gonna call me ugly. He's gonna say this. He's gonna say I'm a piece of shit. And I mean, he's gonna say all these things. But I've been used to hearing that for many years. He's not attracted to me. And I'm lazy. Just a bunch of stuff. That's a lot of stuff I didn't believe, but started to feel like I was starting to believe it, you know? So at this little, like the last, it's like when you're running the track, that's like that last curve. That day when he showed up, I was just like, oh no. Because now it took on a different, monster. He would, the fact that he physically showed up somewhere where I was, like, I felt threatened, right? And not only I felt threatened, I know, like, the people around me felt threatened as well, because they didn't know what to expect. I had a lot of people throughout the years think that he was physically abusing me. And I don't know if it's some, I didn't, like, I physically looked like something changed or whatever, but it was not safe. So, you know, just to end this part of where I'm at mentally, or, you know, I end up, my friend, she ends up driving home. Everybody, we just ended the night there. It was a nice loaded night that I didn't even get to enjoy. I didn't get to enjoy my ladies' night with my girls from back in the day. I didn't get to enjoy it at all because I was so paranoid about this man showing up and acting crazy, causing a scene. When I got home, it was probably like 3:30 in the morning, or no, actually it was a little bit earlier than that. I was already in bed. I was so exhausted. I just take everything off and I just wanted to forget the night. I really wish I would have just got home, even if it was late, at least have enjoyed my night, because at least I'm tired and now at least I had fun. But it was just so much to process, right? Like, shit, it was a shitty night. I ruined my friend's celebratory night. And that's when it got worse. Guys, so that was another break. I need a break because trying to tell this, I mean, it's very long-winded. I'm giving you the extremely short version because I really want to get to the point of what I'm trying to say at the end of it. You know, a lot of people know me, and people who do listen, they actually know me in real life. And I've always been very outspoken and very matter-of-factly, and very I stand up for myself, you know what I mean? I mean, before, when I was younger, I used to you know, I'm a little bit of a pushover, but I would never have thought I would deserve to be treated like the way I was treated for so many years, you know what I mean? That I didn't really know all of that till after. And I feel like that's the problem. I'm not gonna say the problem with abuse, but a big impact that it makes is, like, it's the after effects, right? And especially with that, the emotional abuse, what happens is, because it's not seen, it's all mental, right? It's all in your head. You're being, you end up thinking it's you. Like, oh, if he said this, then I must be. You know, it's not attacking your physical body, but it's messing with your head. It's messing with your heart, and your spirit is uneasy. You know, like, years later, and I openly mention it. I have anxiety, I have depression, but the big one for me was having the PTSD. I remember going, when I had checked into this crisis intervention center that I've told you, you know, I've mentioned a few times. I was like, PTSD, like, what? Because at the end of the day, I was like, I'm not a soldier, I didn't go to war, but the way I reacted, and, you know, based on the test that they gave me or whatever, emotionally, it was like I went through an emotional, like, little battlefield. And it took me a while to have to process all of that. I'm just like, you know, I have problems with accepting love sometimes, right? Because for so many years I wanted, you know, I wanted somebody to just love on me. The person I wanted to love on me wasn't loving on me, you know? And so the person that I was with for so many years, you would think, you know, you would love me somehow, right? So I'm like, why would somebody that I was so close and intimate with, had a family with, got married to, if he knows who I, you know, who he knew who I was, why would he, you know, why he, this is how things went. Why would somebody else who doesn't know me like that love me or want to even be around me? You know, I was so conscious of so many things because, and I remember it was COVID because it was nitpicking at things or just flat out telling me, you know, for so many years, I did not think I was attractive at all. Not at all. I would get compliments here and there, you know, depending on, you know, whatever I was wearing, but I didn't feel it myself, you know. I felt ugly because I was told I was ugly. That's what I was told. Yep. Mm-hmm. I would act like it never bothered me. I wouldn't pay attention. And it wasn't even that it was one instance that it, I was told, like, you know, oh, he said this and now you're just, it was just something, again, it was piling up, you know. And as it was piling up, I didn't even know. You know what I mean? So before I actually just continue the story, you know, I wanted to give a couple of facts because I like to educate the people. You know, but and no, it's Women's History Month, and like I said, women don't deserve to be hit. I mean, men don't deserve to be hit either. And before I continue, domestic violence is not something that only happens to women. It does happen to men. Before we can even discuss any violence on men, we have to start with, this is where it came from. This is the perpetrators have been men from the, you know, that's where it all started. And look at the term wife beaters. So here's my did you know fact for the day. In the U.S., it was legal for a husband to physically abuse his wife in every state up until 1871. And when that happened, Alabama and Massachusetts, they basically declared beating your wife illegal. 1871. And what happened to all the 48 other states, right? like I said, you know, like we can't look at the history of domestic violence worldwide without recognizing that, like, the establishment of it, the justification, especially with, like I said, the physical violence, this wife beating, it was on the wife. You know, it's always been centered on the idea that women, that females, the whatever, you know, now it's being identified as, that females were considered property of their husbands. And it's been like that for so many years. And that's what it was justified with. You know, I mean, that's one of the reasons why, you know, Steph don't want to get married again. But, you know, that's, again, that's personal other stuff. But because for all these years and for all these centuries and for as advanced as we are, this was okay, you know. And, well, it's you, women, you're the female, whatever, that's your property. You can get beat. Like, what? Doesn't make sense. So, in 1910, the U.S. Supreme Court, they had a case, well, it's called Thompson versus Thompson. It was denying victims the right to charge their husbands with assault and battery. It was a salty subject in criminal courts. But basically, with that decision, the court basically centered its concerns on the fear that if they allowed the woman to charge, like if they were allowed to charge the husband for beating their wives, it would basically, like, it would be a shit show. Because it would basically be like, oh, you know, where you're opening these doors of abuse within a, like, the same household, and that, you know, that's what it was. So, you know, moving forward, just, I have a whole lot of bullet points. I'm just pointing out the main ones. Only 38 states have definitions of the domestic violence, and the penalties are within their own criminal codes, you know, all that stuff. So they are, you know, each state, they have different, it's all different laws. So, what you are able to be charged with in one state with domestic violence, it could be different in another. And that's for 38 states. They actually have laws for these. In 1973, you know, shout out to Minnesota. That was where the first battered women's shelter was opened. It's the 70s, guys. Like, this is the 70s. It feels like it's so long ago, but it really wasn't. Like, it's like 50 years, almost 50 years ago, you'd say. That was like 49 years ago. The first battered women's shelter was open. And basically it was at a time where there were so many movements, you know, the hippies and all that stuff. Not only that going on, it was a bunch of other stuff, drugs, crime, war, all that stuff. But basically they had a group of women and they came together and they became like women advocates. And it was just a bunch of nonprofits coming out at this time, and they basically partnered with different organizations, and these were the nonprofits, and they were basically partnering with these organizations that offered like legal advice and hotlines and services for women who were seeking divorce, because whether that had been battered women or if that's physical, right? But if it was physical, you know, they want to leave, you know, they want to escape. But and if you know anything about how that cycle goes, from reading, from seeing, from watching, a lot of times women go back, right? But one thing, one reason why they go back is because they can't really sustain themselves or support themselves. So they'd be scared of getting a divorce a lot of times. So back when this first battered women's shelters opened, they were able to provide legal services to the women so they could assist them with the divorce. So what happened after that is, after these women got divorced, and this is where the need for the shelters came out. They got divorced and now they have nothing, but they also have nowhere to go. So because of that, that's where that, I guess, the need for that and the, you know, all of that happening, that's when Erin Pizzi, that was her name. She was an actor. Oh, not Erin Pizzi. That Erin Pizzi is, oh, look at that. I have a new fact. In 1970, just 3 years before the one in the U.S. opened, started, it was Erin Pizzi. She was an activist and an advocate in England. She actually opened the first battered women's shelter in the world. And it was the one, it was actually what then sparked the one in the U.S. 3 years later. So, yeah, I had to throw her out there. And I mean, it's women's history regardless if it's England over here, right? But just, did you see how not that long ago that is? It's crazy. You know, so while we love to celebrate, you know, all these strides that we've made since back in the 70s and until now, you know, we do recognize that there's still a long road ahead, right? Because not only does abuse affect, like, and as I said, we're specifically talking about women, not only does it affect women, it affects children, you know, and then it's the time. It's not like it's one time. This is just continuous for how many years, you know? And me looking back and seeing, I've had this, you know, I was emotionally abused for years. I didn't even know it. It's like now I'm healing from all of those years of that abuse, right? And so before I finish up my story, because that's where things got physical on my ladies' night, right? Things got physical for the first time. And so that's, you know, that's that next subject I was gonna go for. But emotional and verbal abuse, they include insults and you know, threats to scare, isolate, to control, right? So the abuser is saying these things or using all these tactics to abuse their victim, right? I really hate the word victim, man. It really, like, my eye just twitched on my left side. Like, I hate that word. And not to say it's not because victims don't exist. It's just every time I hear it, I just think victim weak, right? Victim weak. And no, that's not, I have to really get over that, right? And it's kind of stinks to still say it, but we know what I'm talking about. So just some signs of if you yourself or anybody you know has been emotionally or verbally abused. Some of these things are like that the person wants to know where you're at. They want to know what you're doing all the time, and they want constant contact all the time, right? And that was something, for example, that I experienced my ladies' night, but not only that night, but just all the time. Always have my location because you have to know where I was at. Why? What am I doing, sir? I'm going to work taking care of these kids. That was just a control thing, right? I mean, some people like to say they try to do these things because those are things they're guilty of, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. It's regardless, I was still affected, right? They want the passwords to things like your phone, email, social media, and again, I was literally like checkmarking these things. I'm like, oh shit, I went through that, right? He wanted to he had passwords, me not even knowing sometimes that he had my passwords, got into my emails, got to my phone, wanted to know who I was talking to. What am I saying to my friends? Because my friends obviously didn't like him because things I said, apparently. So he wanted to know what I was saying to them. Imagine looking at eggshells like that. I'm like looking back. I'm like, shit, man. The abuser can actually be jealous, accusing the victim of cheating. You know, I mean, we've heard that one before. No, I never did that. Despite what was said, I've never did that. I didn't have enough confidence to cheat, man. Honestly, if I did cheat, I probably would have left sooner. Honestly, because damn it, I really didn't. An abuser can also prevent or discourage you from seeing friends or family. Obviously, you've clearly said this, and that's a big basis of my story of my ladies' night. I didn't spend time with my friends. And it wasn't because I didn't want to. I've always been a people person. You see, now everybody loves to vibe with stuff. I've always been like that. I've always loved to be around people. I've always loved my friends. And when I got with this person, like, it was almost like that started deteriorating. At first, it was me kind of like, they don't like him, or he didn't like them. And then it was just literally just I stopped seeing my friends. I've missed out on so many events, big events that I, to this day, like, I feel so bad. Weddings I've missed, baby showers, births of babies, funerals. There's so many of these things because the person who was supposed to be my protector and be the man of the house, he said, sometimes he would just say no, or sometimes he would say, well, I'm not staying with the kids, so I couldn't go. Or he would go somewhere and say he would be back, and he would just not come back. So now I'm thinking I'm gonna go, and I'm not, because he just didn't come back. This says also here that, you know, they maybe try to stop you from going to work or school, which thankfully didn't have to go through that, because obviously I needed to pay these bills. One is also try to stop you from going to work, or they get angry in a way that is frightening to you. Listen, I get angry my damn self. We all do. It's a natural. But the anxiety that comes with seeing how angry a person can get, and just you physically shaking, that's not the part that's okay. I don't know if it within me, it was kind of like, you know, he's getting so angry, is he gonna hit me? I didn't even think that. I was saying, he's getting so angry, is it a dose line, break something? Is he gonna cause a scene and everybody's gonna look and see what's going on? Because he already had anger issues himself. But yeah, it was a type of anger that he got that I was scared, you know? I never said, I'm like, he's never gonna hit me. He's never. That's what I always thought. The person can control finances or how you spend your money. It wasn't relevant to me. Humiliates you in front of others. You know, guys, the amount of stories that I have heard since, you know, living my best life, that I've had friends tell me or try to remind me of things that they remember saying to me. And I'm like, what? And again, I say this, I don't know if I don't just have I don't remember these. I put it so far back in my mind. Like, I didn't think they were making it up, because this was something, like, often. I was like, yeah, my one friend's like, I remember him calling you stupid. I remember him, you know, making you shut up. Like, it was just story after story. And I'm like, oh my God. I was active being humiliated, and it didn't even matter, you know. Didn't have to be home. I was all the time. I'm like, oh my God, I didn't even notice, because I was used to being spoken to like that, you know. And I didn't think it was anybody's, after, you know, hearing these things, I didn't think it was anybody's responsibility to say anything, because people like to stay in their lane and they don't want to involve themselves in something like that. But I did have friends who stopped talking to me, or, you know, had to discontinue our friendship because they just couldn't witness or see it anymore, you know. And they were just like, why don't you say anything, why don't you go? Because they couldn't, it was almost like nobody's gonna make you go, only you. Calls you insulting names, where we went through that one already. Threatens to hurt you, people, or people you care about. Honestly, that didn't happen to me until I moved and I left anywhere near his vicinity. So that was a little bit later on. Threatens to call the authorities to report you for wrongdoing, all in the same time. Man tries to call child services so that, whatchamacallit, to scare you, like a fear tactic. I mean, I'm always like, you know, I know a lot of people do that because, you know, they want to scare you and there's nothing they could do. But man, I didn't, like, that's a form of emotional abuse. Like, I was always like scared for somebody to knock my door and like, what is this, authorities again? That's scary, nerve-wracking. And it didn't only affect me, it affected my kids too. Threatens to harm themselves or when they're upset. Oh yeah, how many of us have heard, I will kill myself if you don't love me, one of those things. Yep. End up drinking so much, end up going in the hospital, damaging your own body, things like that. Yep. That's a sign of emotional abuse. They're trying to hurt themselves, but that's what's affecting, you know, that's what affected me. Because sometimes we're just people like, I just want, you know, I don't want any issues with you. But that's not in us, and it happens. Another would be like saying things like, if I can't have you, then no one can. I'm going to get to that, but yes, I've been said that. That was said to me many times at the end. And deciding things for you that you should decide, like what to wear or what to eat. Oh, my clothes were dictated, apparently, because I was tacky. I was tacky. But listen, let me tell you something. Maybe I didn't have the best fashion sense, but listen, it was in the early 2000s, right? it was a funny time with clothes. But, I mean, I've come into my own with my fashion, little fashion statement. A little quirky, but it works for me. That's what makes us us. I could never even try to explore, see what it like or didn't like, because I was just, it's ugly, so I couldn't wear it, right? So my hair had to be a certain way. Oh, you know, because Stephanie's bald and fabulous. Now, this hair would have died, absolutely died. Oh my gosh, because I was told it looked like, to my son, I looked like a boy and all this stuff. And I'm just kind of like, oh my God. You know, now I feel like people can say those things if they want to. I don't care. But people can say these things, and I've had to build such confidence from the time where I was at that. And it's not to say I can never be emotionally abused again. It's not to say that, but it's more like I built so much tough skin because I had to. I just was like, I'm just never going to have somebody hurt me the way, like, you know, I have to get in my mind. I have to remember what, you know, certain things, because I can't get triggered the way I was or what led to this. I'm like, I have a confidence in myself. Some days are better than others, but I have a confidence in myself that you're like, I don't like your hair. I'm okay. I don't care, you know, but this, again, this was the person that was so close to me. Why would you say that, right? People thought I was being abused, like physically abused, but I never thought I was being abused. I was so smart, I was strong, and he didn't hit me, right? And I was so used to him treating me a certain way, I didn't even notice. You know, sometimes you don't see things when you're in it, no matter who tells you. And I didn't think, another reason I didn't think I was being like any type of abuser, because I'm like, why would I allow somebody to abuse me? Why would I still be here if that's what he was doing, right? And I'm like, he didn't hit me. Like, why? That doesn't make sense. He didn't hit me until he did. And he didn't hit me till he did. For years, I didn't detect any of those signs that I mentioned. There were so many of them. And there's more. You know, you can do some further research or, you know, ask somebody, seek someone up if you are a victim. But I never imagined that he would hit me. I guess that was always kind of like my safe space. So, well, he could say words, Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But the words did hurt, and it did get physical at one point. And that was that ladies' night. So, you know, going back to that ladies' night, he didn't hit me until he did. It's really hard for me to get there, but I'll share to you guys what happened with that. Alrighty, guys. So, you know, this story is really loaded. I mean, I could probably break this down into a series, only because, and I don't want to say that my story is unique, because, you know, it's just, I didn't identify it, right? And I've had so many other, my pride, my ego, like, no, I'm going to stay because I don't want to look like I got divorced, you know, things like that, stigmas that I didn't want to have. But, you know, but at the same time, I do have a lot of reasons why I stood that are, you know, similar to a lot of reasons why people stay. At one hand, at one point, I really just like, I don't really think certain things happen, right? Like, I was talking to my best friend and I'm like, she was telling me things and I'm like, I don't remember that. Or like something like thought that it wasn't, like it didn't really happen. Something she remembers because she saw, you know, and I'm just like, it's crazy, you know. And I don't know if that was as a result of the gaslighting, you know. If you know, you don't know what gaslighting is, because I know it's a term that people like to use now, because, you know, people are identifying, you know, things that have to do with mental health, things that have to do with abuse, you know, we're being more open to that. So gaslighting is basically it's manipulation. It's like a psychological manipulation where the victim is basically manipulated to thinking it's them, you know, like you start questioning yourself, like, oh, he did that because I did something, or like, you know, you start believing certain things because this is what they said. And like I said, some of the stuff I didn't think that, I was like, that wasn't real. And like I said, I don't know if it's just because of the, like, how traumatic things were throughout the years, or if it was because I was gaslit as fuck, basically, you know what I'm saying? And I, you know, just recently looking at everything, I was like, oh my God, I would have tried to save me if I knew, but I didn't. And it's, you know, it really sucks to have to say that, but it's, you know, in reality, that's what happened. So to, you know, just finish this story of mine that, as I said, I can go on and on. I could have books, I could have episodes just on this. And it was just, I didn't realize that how much of a large portion of my life. I'm about to be 35 this year. And this stopped probably when I was about 31 is when I thought I was going to die in my own apartment and slice my throat. And it's wild, right? I'm like, yeah, it just starts where you're just stupid and you think you're going to get killed. I knew that most of, like, as I said, you know, a lot of times when the emotional abuse would happen, I wasn't really aware of it. But after going to therapy, after slowly talking about things, I was finding out where my PTSD-induced nightmares were coming from. I really would have nightmares of being in church, where I spent most of our marriage with the kids or in my apartment, and I would have nightmares that I was going to get my throat slashed and my kids, and we were all good, like a crazy murder-suicide type of thing. And let me tell you, that happens in real life. Happens in real life, and it's fucking scary. Just a few weeks ago, there was a story of a man, a father who walked into a church and killed himself and the kids and another person. Could have been a mom, a caregiver, I'm not sure. But when I saw the news, I got dizzy. I wanted to throw up because it was my exact nightmare. Like, that would have almost, it would have happened too often. And it was there, it happened. So it made it seem like I'm not so far-fetched. You know, because at the same time, it's like I underestimated him, right? like he's not gonna do that, we're gonna do that. But then it's like it would gradually get worse. And unfortunately, like, he suffered from alcoholism, which basically changed his whole judgment, right? Because he wasn't thinking like I would think he would think. He's not thinking the way, like, he's not thinking straight at all, you know? So whatchamacallit. I couldn't even be like, oh, he wouldn't do that because he loves it. He loves his family, or he loves, you know, just making excuses. But I mean, really, like, when that happens, like, who really thinks that that's going to happen to them, you know? But moving forward, that's, I just have to throw that in there. Moving forward, that very night when I left I was dropped off at the house. It was very dramaful because, you know, he was in the middle of the street. He was kind of pushing me around and telling me I have to listen and kind of grabbing me, not hitting me, but just grabbing me. And I'm like, stop, please. You know, it was to say the least, was embarrassing. And I don't like to be embarrassed outside in public, especially. I don't like people trying to look. It's so ghetto and unclassy. That's one thing I can't do. I definitely cannot do all the ghetto. Oh, no. I'm from the hood, but I don't do crazy shit like that. It's embarrassing. I don't like to see it, and I don't want to be in it. You know what I mean? So I was just like, please stop. And he wouldn't listen. Jump in the car. He wouldn't listen. And it was like, oh, my God. I was thankful that, you know, my girls, they got me away. Like, you know, let's just get away. I just wanted to get away. But then it didn't end there, you know? I just wanted to go home at this point from the embarrassment, from not even having to be able to have fun, from feeling terrible. I didn't have to get to enjoy, you know, celebrate my friend. So as I was saying before the break that I had, around 3 something, my doorbell starts ringing. Wouldn't stop. Wouldn't stop ringing. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. I was living in a nice, you know, quiet suburban town, and they don't do no ghetto shit like that. Like, you just like just disturbing the peace. It's such a quiet, like, block, especially in a quiet town. I'm pretty sure the whole block heard it. The whole block probably heard it because you wouldn't stop. I didn't want to open the door. I was like, oh my God. And my landlord, she was elderly. She did not need to hear that. They already weren't fond of him, and he didn't live there. They just didn't like any interactions, and I can't have that happen. The man's just ringing the bell like a lunatic. The kids were sleeping. I'm having a person ring the bell like that, and I had to open the door, and I didn't know what to do, and I opened the door just to be like, oh my God, please stop. And that's when I just heard it. He just was going off. How could you leave me in the middle of this town? I don't know. But, I mean, he figured out how to get back, right? And I had no words. I was just like, get out of my house. You can't be ringing the bell, you know? Why are you ringing the bell like this? And the kids are sleeping. There's people sleeping. I'm going to sleep. Like, all of that just... I couldn't. I'm not a confrontational person, but I was already just done. And he just pushed his way upstairs. And I'm going, we're going to talk. And I'm just like, no. No. I said, this is, I'm sure there's probably more to all of that. Because, you know, it happened so fast. But at the same time, it was so much going on, right? And that's as far as I can remember for right now. I don't remember. My oldest son, he had him upstairs, and he, I have timestamps because I had to file a police report. There were timestamps from when he was sending a message, and he was sleeping, and then he couldn't obviously sleep because the doorbell was ringing so much, and he's like, is everything okay? I hear a lot of noise, because at this point, I couldn't see the messages that he was sending to me because my ex took my phone, and he like kind of mushed me and kind of like, I don't like laid down. I don't know if he was laying down on top of me or sitting on me, but the pillow was like, I was on my, like, basically I was like on my stomach, and my face was like in my bed, and the pillow was over my, like, my head. I feel like I was being suffocated, but not being face up, so the pillow could be on my face. And I'm trying to say to get off me. And he's like, are you going to listen? Like, he was, I feel like it was like a, like if he was possessed, it was like a psycho moment. And he couldn't hear me because like he wasn't listening. And I'm like, get off. And the reason why my son went downstairs And he knocked on the door. I swear, I think that's the only way I was, like, not able, I didn't stop breathing because I was banging on the wall. And I was kicking to stop, and I didn't know what else to do because you couldn't hear me. I was banging on the wall. I'm like, stop, stop. And my son was, like, knocking, and he was able to come in. His father opened the door. And he's like, is everything all right? And I'm got up because I was couldn't breathe for so long. And I'm like, call the cops, call the cops, call the cops. I was so, I listen, it's almost 3:30-ish around this time. I don't want to call the cops. I don't want to call the cops ever. And now I'm like, I got to deal with an embarrassment of police coming here. And he's like, I called them. Like, he said he called the police. Right? He goes, I did. I called the police. And I'm like, oh. Because again, I'm like working out of sheer, like, you know, fight or flight. And he already called the cops. And then I think he hung up. He said he hung up. And so the police were calling him his phone again. And I grabbed it. And he grabbed it. I said, oh, you know, I'm sorry. My son dialed by accident. He thought he heard something. And they were like, are you sure? I said, yes, yes. You know, so this was me. Can't get out of jail free card, right? Because it really was, they really should have been there. And I got so nervous. I got so scared. I was so embarrassed. And I'm like, no. You know, they were like, are you sure, man? I said, oh, it's fine. They confirmed my son on the phone that everything was okay. So that's how I ended up getting him to go. And I told my son that it was fine. And he was so, he knew it wasn't fine. And he went, you know, I told him to go back to bed. That, you know, we'll talk in the morning. And he didn't see it. Like, he could tell he was concerned. He knows that's not normal. He knew he wasn't normal. And, you know, this guy kept insisting. He went upstairs. Yeah, I can't believe you had my son call the cops. And I'm like, okay. And I was so out of breath. And I took my phone again. He threw it. And again, my son was already asleep. Well, he went back upstairs. And like, I was like, and it wasn't like necessarily like, I think he was trying to like hit me. I was being like thrown like on the wall. So it wasn't like I was being punched or anything like that, thankfully, because I'm small and you're not gonna fuck out. But I think it was kind of like a grab, you know, like grab and toss. If you throw me, I can't really do nothing about that. So I had bruising like all my leg. And because I was so scared, because the way I was feeling, I was suffocating before, I just started punching at his head. And I don't remember. I think I blacked out. I can't remember, honestly. Maybe one day I will, or maybe it's so far back in my memory. But I've never felt like that in my life. So I doubled my size, and I just punched. And somehow, eventually, I think I went to sleep in my daughter's room. I left. I didn't want to leave my room. And he fell asleep. And I still have photos to this day, because I have to show the police what happened. And he woke up in his own blood. He woke up in his own blood, and he didn't remember the next morning. And he thought he did something to me. It was my blood. He doesn't really have much for, like, he didn't have much recollection of that. And I think what scared me the most was that I really messed him up. I think he had a concussion. I jacked him up, messed him up real good. Real good, real bad. There was blood everywhere, and it was some on the wall. You would have thought I killed him. He thought he killed me. I don't even know what happened. But I was just, I went to shower in the morning, like after he was out of my house and got up. I was showering, and I'm just looking at myself. I'm like, do I really have bruising on myself? I don't bruise easily. And it was so stressful that it was so hostile. I'm sure I missed parts. Like, even now, like, talking about it, I'm like, whew. So it makes me a little anxious, you know? But I'm not scared anymore, you know? There were times I would go outside, and I would look both ways, like it was going to come out of nowhere. And then it sucked, and I think it sucked the most. What sucked the most is that he didn't remember. And I was like, I can't even talk to you. I was called a liar after there's blood everywhere. I have bruising on me. My son called the cops on you. And he's just like, you're lying. I really don't know if he didn't remember or if he's just trying to convince himself of that. But I was just like, are you serious? I'm lying. I just felt like at that point, it was kind of like that final straw, right? Like, you ruined my night that I don't ever have. This is before, this is my a few years ago, so I wasn't going anywhere. My kids were so small still. You ruined my night. You went to where I was. You showed up to my house. And I'm the violator. I'm the abuser. I never shared those words with him, but that was one of those moments you realize, oh, this motherfucker trying to gaslight me without even knowing what gaslighting was. I was just like, wow. And the next day, I had pictures. I saved them, and to this day, years later, I still have them. I started looking for apartments to get out of the town. I was living in Bergen County, so it was about 30 minutes from here where I live now. And I just, before we lived basically like just a couple blocks away from each other. I was so scared to be that close. I just said, I'm going to just move my whole self and just be where I felt safer. Believe it or not, living in a big old city with people that I know, I felt safer than being in a little town where anything could have happened. Nobody heard anything where I was. Nobody. Not the downstairs lady, not my neighbor. God forbid something would have... God forbid I would have been killed or something. Nobody would really know. But you do that shit in a city like this, oh, everybody's going to hear you, you know? Just for cause for concern, because we're nosy. But nothing happened. Nothing. And the craziest part of all of this is... I know even a couple years would pass and... You know, the whole, I already filed for divorce, like actual divorce. Got it done. It was so, so relieving. It was so relieving. And I just wanted to know, what did I do wrong? Like, at this point, I was already past that. You know, I wasn't entertaining any of that. But he would really ask me, like, why do people think I hate you? And I was just like, people witnessed the, you know, like I said, he never hit me, but you know, he kind of pushed me around one time. I think he threw me like across the street, but again, it was never physical. Like, that was that first night on ladies night. But yeah, there are people, if they witnessed it themselves, you know, and they were just no. But all those times that he never did that, he was under the influence of alcohol. So I should say, why would I lie about that? Those are things people witnessed, you know? It sucks because it's something that, I mean, I don't ever think I'm going to get closure from it, like an apology, because I'm not going to get an apology. And I don't expect one. If I do, it's not really going to make any difference. But it sucks when you, to a person who... treated you however way, they really don't remember. And because of all of, you know, because of alcoholism, because that's a whole nother topic in itself, it really messes people up. And you know, it's almost like, well, you can't check how to take that L, because you can't really do anything, you know. And so just don't do it again. You know, I really don't know. But I completely removed myself and my children away from that situation. That was the first night, on my first ladies' night, that I said, oh no. And the very next day, I was able to move from the time that happened to where I live now. It took about 3 months. It was a process. And even then, you know, it was just a matter of repairing myself. I didn't know how long... I don't know how much. I didn't know how damaged I was. You know, like, I really feel now in my life where I don't have any of those behaviors. I really try to cut out all types of toxicity in my life. I don't know. I don't care who you are. You're not going to talk to me crazy. You're not going to, you know, I don't even let people in my house like that. But it took a long time to find out all these things that have accumulated. Like, I was like, oh, crap. That, too. I'm so defensive because of this. You know, I couldn't ever take a compliment. And I have a thing where I am just like, I will not be controlled. I will not be manipulated. And I know that everybody's not trying to do that, but it's almost like a defense mechanism. I don't want to, you know, nobody's going to treat me like this. So it's almost like my guard is always up. And I've never been like that. You know, I really love people. I love being around people. And it's just this shield. It's kind of like, it just builds, because I feel like I should have had it for him, but that was the reason why I did, you know? You know, words, a lot of words he said just really made me feel like shit, right? damaged goods. You know, you're a three kids. Nobody's gonna want you. I'm like, really? But you know, now that I'm aware that this happened, and I've got a lot of help now to be able to tell my closest friends what happened. I never even shared with my parents, like my family. They don't even know exactly what I went through. They know about the emotional abuse, little bits and pieces here. I know my mom does, but like I never shared those stories. You know, think some of his family knows. You know. Not that it mattered. I know it's even hard to believe. Like even sometimes I was saying, I'm like, does that even sound like it happened? Or look at him, does he look like he did that? You know, like there's just no way to justify those things. You can't tell who said something to anybody, you know? And I'm like I said, I'm a big advocate of, you know, it's not about sticks and stones may break my bones or words will never hurt me. Yes, words will hurt you. You know, and it reminds me that I gotta be mindful of the things I allow people to say to me, and I also have to be mindful of what my kids hear, what people say to them, because their words do hurt, you know. I'm very grateful that I have amazing people in my life, you know what I mean. There's, I have lots more new friends than I have my friends from before. So sometimes, you know, they didn't know me before. They didn't know me when all of this happened. They've only known me a single step. They only know me five a step. And they just love that energy. But it took a lot for me to even get here. This is always like the kind of person. This is what I've always been this person. Or this is like the person I always wanted to be, you know, type of thing. And I'm there, you know, I still got a little damage, got fixed there. But this is me, you know. And I remember being younger, I was like, I don't ever have any story to share. Like, what can I help anybody? You know, don't ask that shit because look what I got, you know. Don't ask what you're not ready for. You know, no, I would never say that. But people see me as this person who, you're so strong, you're so happy, you're so this. And I'm like, man, if you knew the torture that I went through all those years inside and not even knowing. It's like you live in a prison and you don't even know it. You're in jail, you don't know you're in jail. You're a prisoner, you don't know you're a prisoner. Because it doesn't feel like prison, or is this what prison feels like? You have no idea. I grew up in a very loving household. My parents would argue here and there, you know, whatever, just like anybody does. But even with that, my parents were very private. They were very adamant. If they ever argued, it was not in front of people. It was not a scene, you know. They do that in their room privately. We heard a little, you know, maybe heard some muffled sounds because they're arguing, but that was not anything they ever wanted us to hear. To this day, I definitely am working on feeling terrible that I feel like I might damage my kids, you know. But I had to get myself better in order to be able to help them from any side effects of my shit, you know. I couldn't continue having them be able to hear the way that I was being spoken to. That night when my son, it was heartbreaking. And I actually remember, I still have the same screenshots. My son was texting me, I think it was like 9 o'clock in the morning. And he's like, they didn't go to school the next day because they could barely slept because of all that madness. And around 9 o'clock in the morning, I think, I don't know if it was 9 a.m. or 9 p.m. I can't remember right now. It's because it's in my phone. But he kept getting phone calls. He's like, please tell, he was asking me to tell his dad to please stop calling him. He doesn't want to talk to him. And it was constant. I have the screenshots. I had to keep it because I had to show the court and I had to prove this stuff, because that's another thing. It's so hard to provide evidence of emotional abuse, right? So you know how I was telling you about the history of, you know, just advocacy and resources for victims of abuse. There's still things that need to be worked on. And that's definitely one of them. Verbal abuse is real, and people don't understand how much it really does affect others, especially when it's just life all the time. To the extent of the whole, listen, I don't follow celebrities, gossip, and all this stuff because I'm over it. I guess, listen, I have issues I have to deal with. Even until there's recently and probably still ongoing, that whole Kim Kardashian and Kanye West thing. Man, that triggered me like a motherfucker. And I didn't even realize it. I was like, oh no, this sounds very familiar. And it's not funny. people were making jokes about it, or, oh, she did this, oh, they're rich, rich people problems. And I'm like, huh, that's interesting, because at the end of the day, abuse doesn't discriminate against what you look like. It doesn't discriminate if you're famous or not. It doesn't discriminate against any of that thing. You can still get it like anybody else. You can still abuse someone just like anybody from anywhere. And not to say I respect them or not or whatever that may be, but she's a mother with children who's been married to this man, you know? And, you know, the media is going to be the media, and the media is going to say what they think, or they're going to put a narrative, but nobody really knows what happens behind closed doors. People could see me and my ex around and they would never suspect that. I've had people actually ask me, well, what did you do for him to do that? I'm like, what? That is fucking insane. You gotta be fucking kidding me. Because what did I do? Let's say I did something. It was just that was okay for that to happen to me. There's no excuse, you know? And I made excuses enough that I wasn't even thinking I was making excuses for anything. So that whole Kanye West thing, I'm like, it's not funny. I had to silence like all of those or mute those notifications, because I couldn't. Every time I turned my phone on, it was there. And I'm like, oh no, I can't. I don't want to know. I don't want to hear, because it was a lot of similarities. I ain't got that kind of money, but it was so many similarities by his behavior and what the things he would do and say. Right? I was like, oh, man needs help. Right? I don't know if he has other issues. That's not my husband. Not my ex-husband. Ain't nothing to me. But it's just the same kind of cycle, right? Even I watched, there's a show on Netflix. It's called Maid, M-A-I-D. And it's based on a true story. And the main character, she has gone through a lot of emotional abuse. And at the very least, that was like the main topic. There's a lot of other things within the storyline. It's like a miniseries that they touch. And one thing that was difficult for her to do after she left the house she was living at with her boyfriend, it was so hard for her. Like, she didn't know that she was being abused. She just knew there was a woman's shelter and they're like, abused? She's like, no. She didn't think she was getting abused because he was hitting her. But as she was sitting in these places, she always had flashbacks. She would have nightmares. The guy, her baby daddy, seemed pretty nice, but he also had an alcohol problem. And she was, because the way she was trying to figure it out. She was just trying to navigate. And then it's like, you know, the way that government programs work, you need one thing to get another and such, when it's like, she had to prove she was being a what? And she didn't even know herself. So it's like, you know, we kind of have to find a better way to gauge that, I guess, because domestic violence, it's not always just bruises that you see. Like, man, I tell you, I have bruises on my soul, bruises on my spirit, my mind, you know? And not to say it's more or less than physical abuse. I will never, you know, I can't compare. I can't compare anything to anything, to either or, but that was all in my head, you know? And there's times when I do get triggered, you know? Just like I have been. And just like this is a topic of conversation, and just like this is called the trauma of a ladies night, is because finding out this amazing group of women. It's Women's History Month. We've got so many things to celebrate. This was just all week, just amazing news, good news, back to back to back for each of us. For me, was in different areas of my life. And I'm like, I have my job, personal life, friends that I, you know, surround me. I'm like, man, these are some badass women. And I'm grateful for them. You know, maybe all my groups of friends are don't know each other, right? But despite that, I'm like, my group of friends over here, they're all total badasses. I would do business with all of them. My women friends over here on the other side, I would do the same thing. Because they're like real, recognized real. Like, you know, when you're just an amazing, strong, amazing woman, you could recognize another one. So that's all I want to surround myself with. You know, somebody's always going to be the weakest link, but we got to make sure that we're strong enough and we're women enough to help our friends that they matter, you know? There's no power trip we have our own power individually, you know, and I'm grateful to have that, you know, from the person at the top, from my boss, who's just my boss, to some person that I met just a few weeks ago. Like, that's where the whole spectrum comes in, you know, and we've shared stories, you know, and finding out that we have a lot more things similar and in common than we thought, that just a group of, let's say, 8 to 10 of us, the percentage of us that have gone through the same story is insane. And all it took is a conversation, just a conversation. And, you know, I definitely felt like this conversation or episode or whatever you want to call it, it had to happen, because it really wasn't until the other day where I was like, oh my God, I am more traumatized than I remember. And every time I think about it, I'm like, oh shit, I'm even more traumatized than the last time, you know? And it's not so much that, it's just like, you know, little things happen in lady side. And I'm like, why don't I like the way this sounds? Why do I feel like I shouldn't go? Why is it so alarming? And they're like, Steph, you know us, we hang out all the time. And I'm just like, I think it was just a connotation of it being a ladies night, because I remember my first ladies night and how everything went downhill from there. That was really the catalyst of everything that, like, my life after that was just that very, very moment. And it got significantly worse with him from that very night. Like, that was the event that just switched, changed everything more than it did. And, you know, it's crazy how much that was triggered. On the good side, I am definitely going outside with my friends, my girlfriends, ladies night, we're all going outside. And I mean, I know that it's not gonna be a night like that, you know. It's my life is at a totally different point now, totally different, and I'm blessed for that. And it became easier, or it became less painful to have memories the more I spoke about it. And it's still something I just don't go share with anybody, because I don't want to wear it like it's my identity, or because it, you know, because it's not. Sometimes it's good to have that reminder, right? Because just as we said, ladies night, I didn't know that little trigger was going to do something to me, like kind of had me recollecting stuff and had me going back in my phone and just trying to recall some things, because I don't know if I like the way this sounds, you know? But my life is not the same. I don't live under those same circumstances. Nothing in my life is just anywhere the same as that night or any of those times, of those period of my life. And I'm also going to be looking like a whole baddie, because I deserve it, man. After that, I was just like, man, after I sat there and I was processing and I spoke to my favorite mental health professional, Paula. Yeah, remember I told her I would shout her out. She got listening to the episode from last week. It felt like I was just going through my own session. I'm just texting and I'm like, oh my God, it's that. I didn't know. You know, it was kind of just revealing it to myself. But I guess also because I've already been on that journey of self-love and self-heal, because for so long I hated myself because of all of that. Because somebody else told me these things. You know what I mean? And I'm definitely not any of that. And I don't believe that any longer. Again, this is why so many circumstances have changed. And I don't blame anybody. I don't blame myself. I don't blame my friends. Because listen, my best friend, she told me she was trying to get me to run from the very beginning. Others just never wanted to be around. Some others just retracted. And I went back a couple of times, you know, and people were just like not getting it. But then again, nobody saw any bruises. Nobody saw anything. So, you know, I think now with the people that I have in my life, we've gone through so many things within our own lives, individually, in relationships, and we form such different bonds that, and it's not to say my friends should have not said anything before, because as I said, they have. But I think at our age and the stuff that we've already been through, I think particular, if God forbid this ever, anything like this ever happened to me, if I ever felt like I was in danger, I know it'll be taken care of. I feel a little bit safer in knowing that it will be taken care of from me sharing my locations with a few people, just so that they know where I'm at all times. And it doesn't even have to be, somebody I'm with all the time. It could be just a friend, and I'm like, hey, if just have it there all the time. Because, aside from my history, my past, there's still other crazy motherfuckers out there. And I'm still a woman, and abuse is real, even if they don't know you. I am looking forward to seeing Evie Queen. Like I said in the beginning of this episode, she is fierce. And I'm going to be so happy I'm around fierce-ass women. Because I'm also a fierce-ass woman, raising a fierce-ass woman. Because she's fiercer than me. My daughter's fiercer than me than I ever was. But I'm going to enjoy that Friday night. I'm trying to make it to Saturday. Just going to go right through. But I want to enjoy that Friday night like I should have the first time. And like I should have been doing with my friends, as friends that we are. All the ladies' nights that I've missed. And all the ladies, and that one ladies' night that just messed me up. I am looking forward to enjoying the evening with all my fabulous ladies. All the boss-ass biddies. Everything. We're just going to celebrate. To celebrate life, success, and just growth, We have to continue as women. We have to continue to lift each other up and raise each other up. And men, you better do it too. But, we're our best resources. We're our best advocates because we can relate to each other so much. So I just want to say thank you guys for letting me get in my feelings, letting me feel my feelings tonight. Have to make me go back and process some stuff. I'm sorry. Some things like a little choppy. I didn't remember too much. But yes, I wanted to just thank you all for people who have helped me to be able to tell my story a little bit better and let me share. Sometimes I've shared it way too many goddamn times. So I just want to say thank you to just everybody just throughout these few years that have helped me with that. I'm grateful. And I'm also grateful that I'm able to identify those behaviors if I see them again, At the end of the day, if anybody listening to this episode is in fear of their life, whether it be physical, sexual, mental, anything, abuse, I will definitely provide some numbers that you can call or people to contact at. It'll be right in the description somewhere. And if you don't even feel safe to do that, speak to a friend. Maybe you can message me if you want. I'll help where I can. I'll make a call for you, whatever we need to do. But the fear of abuse is so real that it just paralyzes a lot of us, women especially, because we have to be so much to so many people. And on top of that, we have this literal beating down on us, So, I mean, vibing with Steph, we like to keep it real light sometimes and positive, but this is definitely something that needs to be addressed, because this will hold us back from the rest of our lives, So, guys, just live, love, laugh, share your stories. I will continue to share mine. And maybe I'm going to get a little better at it. It's so rusty. but I do hope that somebody out there learned something. Maybe give me a little boost of confidence. And, ladies, go on your ladies' night. Moms, I know you got babies. Just get together with some of your girls. It doesn't have to be outside. Get together because you're good. We're going to have those regrets that we missed out on so much because we allowed it. So thank you guys for listening to another episode of Vibe with Steph. I'll see y'all next week.